It is the Doomsday Podcast, and Ed Werder is coming to us from Raymond James, home of all those cannons were going off all night for the Bucks. And Ed's had a full day of activity, lots and lots of live shots, at least seven or eight, and then the post-game activities. So we're recording this the wee hours of Monday morning. Ed, what was it? What was it like to be at a NFL stadium? You did a lot of games last year where there were almost no fans. Cowboys had a few fans. Was it? Did it have a lot of normalcy to it? And was it? Did it seem a lot more exciting?
Yeah, I think it's interesting to put it in context. The last time the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and Tom Brady played at Raymond James Stadium, they played in front of the smallest Super Bowl crowd in history because of the COVID restrictions. And tonight they played before a full house. And that's despite the fact that there's this, COVID surge and there are four times as many people in the hospital right now as there were this time a year ago. And it was kind of interesting as I thought about this just before the game that this is really the first time Tampa Bay fans are getting to watch Tom Brady live, and he's already won him a Super Bowl. I mean, it's kind of a crazy situation where he's played all these games and won playoff games and won the Super Bowl in his home stadium, the only quarterback ever to do that. And yet the fans have never seen him play live in that uniform for the most part. So that was kind of interesting. And then other than that, from a reporter's standpoint, we're much more back to close to what it was before the pandemic in that, we were able to access the field for all our live shots. Last year, we were, above and off the field. We could not interact directly with players and coaches. I sat on the bench over on the Bucs side of the field and talked to Tom Moore, who's been coaching in the NFL for 44 years, Coach Peyton Manning, Coach Tom Brady now. Got to interact with some of the Cowboys coaches and players before the game in a way that we couldn't a year ago. We're still not allowed in the locker room, but after the game, I interviewed Antonio Brown on the field, and stood not right next to him, but close by. And instead of hanging over the rail, like we were doing last year with an extended microphone. And then, Cowboys players and coaches, came into a media room. We didn't go in the locker room, but at least we can ask the questions and they can see us there. And, we can read their body language and their vacant stares and make what we will of it. So it's a much, much more normal experience than we had a year ago, thankfully.
Yeah. Well, I'm excited to talk to you about this. There are some people taking this loss pretty hard. Some people think it's a good sign. I think probably there's it's a little bit of both. But before we get into it, Frito, please play the music. All right, Ed Werder still at the stadium, and Ed, this was it ended up being a great game and a lot of twists and turns in this thing. And I think some people thought, well, okay, without Zach Martin, can the Cowboys hang around? Well, not only did they hang around, but they had a legitimate chance to win the game. Ed, I feel like we've seen this before. It's like you go into a game. Cowboys at one point, I think, were the underdog by like 9 points. And so not a lot of people had like great expectations for them. But then you get in there and Dak has this incredible game and you get four takeaways. They only get one. And like conversations we've had in the past, Ed, and you had some of the stats that reflect this. I mean, like the Cowboys always seem to find a way to do this. Like win the turnover battle, the turnover margin battle, have a quarterback just go off, and yet they still find a way to lose the game. So, again, some people are looking at tonight and going, hey, Cowboys are good. Cowboys are really good. But it does seem like they had with what they did, it's sort of almost unbelievable that they lost this game.
Yeah, I think there's a perspective that hey, you got to feel encouraged if you're, you know, a Cowboys fan or a team member that they came in here. And the last time the Tampa Bay Bucks played here, you know, their defense was chasing Patrick Mahomes around. He ran like 400 yards trying to evade the rush, got pressured a Super Bowl record 29 times. And so here comes, you know, Dak Prescott, who hasn't played in the preseason, hasn't played a football game in 11 months since he got injured in week 5 last year, the first serious injury of his career. Didn't even participate in the joint practice with the Rams and was shut down throwing competitively for 30 days. I mean, you have a quarterback coming into this game with almost no preparation, and he has throws, you know, 58 passes, 403 yards, 3 touchdowns, and does everything but beat Tom Brady. And so I think you feel, have to feel good about that. But then you can look at it another way, which is this is a unique historic loss in that it's the first time the Cowboys have lost a game in which they had a turnover differential of +3 or better, and their opponent had 100 yards in penalties. Until tonight, the Cowboys were 5-0 historically in those situations. They're just the fourth team in NFL history to lose a game in which they had at least 450 yards of offense and were +3 or better in turnover margin. The last team to do that was the Kansas City Chiefs in 2002. So you're right. They found a unique way to lose a football game. At the same time, they nearly staged one of the, you know, I would argue had they won the game and Dak played the way he did, I would have said this the ranks as one of his 5 best wins as a starting quarterback. You know, he went to Green Bay as a rookie and beat Aaron Rodgers there. He went to Pittsburgh the same year and beat Ben Roethlisberger there. 2 years later in the playoffs, he eliminated Russell Wilson. And then he comes to Tampa Bay, and on the night they're celebrating their Super Bowl championship without, you know, his best offensive lineman, and Zeke Elliott says it's the best, Zach Martin's the best offensive player they have. They put it all on him, and he stands in there and almost delivers the victory. Had he done it, I think it would have ranked maybe as his best regular season win ever.
Yeah, and it still goes down as a tremendous performance, and I caught it on the post-game TV interview that he it wasn't the interview. They had the cameras down there watching him visit with Brady, and it picked up him shouting out, and I think he said it to more than just Brady, but he did say to Brady, we'll see you guys again. I thought both Mike McCarthy, now again, you were there in person. I was watching it in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, and so you saw like the body language from McCarthy. Listening to McCarthy and listening to Dak, boy, I did not hear any sort of like despondent type. I mean, they both sounded like that, you know, while obviously they wanted to win the game, very encouraged is the way I would describe it in listening to them. Is that the takeaway you had? I think Dak certainly, just his behavior on the field after the game and in his comments suggests that he's kind of excited about what the Cowboys showed, even in a losing cause.
Well, and I think he had to feel good about his own performance. You know, there were a lot of questions, a lot of psychological challenges that he had to endure tonight, because he didn't play in the preseason. You know, he had to prove that he could deliver the football accurately with defenders around his legs, that he could take a hit and get up and play the next snap, that he could still be a runner of the football from the quarterback position. And I think he demonstrated all of those things. I thought he was totally fearless. You know, I mean, Todd Bowles blitzed him like 24 times and he beat the blitz for all 3 of his touchdowns. So I think he personally had to feel good about the way he played. I guess the thing that I wonder in the aftermath of seeing this game is the Cowboys have clearly evolved as an offense from when Dak came into the league in 2016. Jason Garrett was a head coach. They invested in the offensive line. They drafted Zeke Elliott 4 overall. You know, they're a physical run the football team, and he's sort of a game manager. Well, now look at where they are. He's played 6 games under Mike McCarthy, and he's thrown 50 or more passes in half of them, and they've won none of them. So as much as they came in thinking, now this is, I would say, in the 2 games this happened last year, it wasn't really by choice. It was kind of, they were kind of forced to play that way because they were so far behind.
Yeah.
Their defense was no good. They turned the football over. Tonight, it seemed more like they came in here and that was their plan. Now, I don't think they thought Dak was going to throw 58 times.
No.
But I think they felt like the way to win the game was not by running the football without Zach Martin against the front seven of Tampa Bay, which is among the best in the league, but exploit their secondary, beat them on the perimeter, and use Dak and the receivers to do that. And to some degree, they succeeded in that. And they probably would have won the game if Greg Zuerlein had done his job. You know, he missed, what, two field goals. One was ridiculous and total another example of game mismanagement by the John Fossil, Mike McCarthy tandem, trying that field goal at the end of the game that allowed Brady to throw at the end zone on the final play of the half. But I just wonder how sustainable this playing style is. And is this, you know, McCarthy spent all offseason talking about complimentary football, and we need to, I get that it's fun to throw the football. It's fun to call throwing plays, but you know, we got to recognize the value of running the ball and controlling the tempo and all that kind of stuff. And they come out here and that's not the way they play. Now, again, maybe it's opponent specific. Maybe it's because of, you know, Zach Martin's absence. Maybe it's both of those things. But they've done this an awful lot so far, and it hasn't worked ever.
Yeah, and it is funny to go into this game thinking, well, you need to kind of ease this guy in. And 58 attempts, you know, you ran him. He took off a couple of times. It looked okay. Looked fine. I mean, I did hear something, and I think you might have asked Dak about the whole complimentary football thing. Mm-hmm. And Dak actually said, we probably need to run the ball more than we did. McCarthy's not one to really admit things after games. And McCarthy's one that was more like, hey, this was the ebb and flow. Isn't that funny, though? It's almost like in basketball, sometimes there's a tempo to the game. And isn't it funny to hear a coach basically say, well, that's just the way the game, it's almost kind of like, well, that's what the Bucks were doing, so that's what we had to do. It's almost kind of like they forget that they control some of this.
And it would have worked. They could have won the game without question. They could have won the game if, you know, Zuerlein doesn't have the missed extra point and the short missed field goal in a situation where he was 19 for 19 last year in those situations. Or if Blake Jarwin makes his block on the third down play in the red zone, or speaking of the red zone, they execute better than they did tonight. They were 1 for 4 scoring touchdowns in the red zone. And that's been an issue for them going back through last season. They were one of the 4 worst teams in the NFL last year in converting red zone opportunities into touchdowns. They finished behind 3 really bad teams like the Jets, the Jaguars, and the Giants, I think. So, you've got to be able to execute in those situations, and that's where a quarterback makes his money. Now, Dak already made his money, but he'd have made even more money if he was a better red zone quarterback than he was tonight.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, this was fascinating to watch. Now, let's discuss a little bit the you said the offensive line. I thought for the most part, McGovern kind of hung in there and did okay. Biotic got knocked back into Dak on one of those plays. That Vita Vea, whoa, what a monster that guy is. I mean, that guy, it's hard to anchor against him. But the offensive line held up, and then those receivers did their thing. Where I agree with you is, yeah, I mean, the sustainability of, you can't ask this guy to throw that many times a game. I do find it interesting that even people who have doubted Dak in the past, I think Dan Orlovsky's one of them from your network, are tonight saying, this guy's elite. I was wrong. This guy's unbelievable. And I think you already kind of thought that, and we've been extremely complimentary of him. But I do think we all wanted to see what he looked like. And I did, that is an unbelievable. Again, can he do this every week? No. You can't keep throwing him 58 times, but it was interesting to your point earlier about Zeke, that Zeke literally was just like a blocking back, and he did a great job of it. He picked up blitzes, and he's very good at it. But that's all he was. Like he and Pollard both were kind of sitting back there, just picking up picking up blitzes, and the game was played on the perimeter. And like it was just like a fast break type thing. Just boom, boom, boom. Get the ball outside. Get the ball over to but I mean, I love the tempo. I mean, every that, you know, what tonight was a reminder, that horrible slog we went through last year after Dak was injured, this was a whole different look. I mean, this was, you know, this reminded you of why you need this quarterback. And I think a lot of people come away thinking, well, this is definitely the best team in the NFC East. It, I'll say this, Ed, it's one of the best losses they've had in a while.
Yeah, and you mentioned, you know, you mentioned the offensive line and what a good job they did. And like I said, Tampa Bay's got one of the best front sevens in football. And Dominican Sue and Golston and Vita Vea, you know, they asked Vita Vea this week what he weighs. And he said he weighed 347 last year. And he said, they said, what do you weigh this year? He said, yeah, somewhere around there, you know. So, and he's a very athletic guy. But I think it's hard to say that the offensive line performed well when they really didn't have the run dimension. Like, they didn't do anything in the run game all night. And, you know, Tampa Bay had the best, has had the best run defense in the league the last 2 years. But that's been a foundational element for the Cowboys, or at least this group of players. And I just wonder where McCarthy is going with all this. I mean, we already knew that he wasn't going to play through the running back like Jason Garrett did, that he was going to play with through the quarterback. And so I kind of feel like if you're doing that, then signing Zeke to the contract they signed him for was a bad move, or hiring McCarthy when you've already done that, is the wrong coach, right? I, as I've said all along, I think Zeke Elliott can be a big part of a successful winning team, but he's not going to challenge for rushing championships anymore because this coach isn't going to give him those kind of opportunities.
Yeah, and I think that's one thing we looked at when they first brought in McCarthy. He's just, it's just not in his DNA. He's not going to do it, and he's not going to like when all this passing was working tonight, there was probably almost never a point when he said to Kellen Moore, hey, why don't we try to work Zeke in? Why don't we try to get Zeke some carries? I mean, I thought they would come out the second half and try to establish it and run him a little more. They looked at it, but this coach is just not going to do it. I think you're right. I think Zeke is someone who's going to be a nice complimentary player to this, but they are going to ride or die with Dak Prescott. And tonight, that for one night, it seems like that's okay. You know, that's something that they should think about doing. I mean, to have two receivers. I mean, I'll tell you this. Gallup was on his way to having a nice game, and then he gets hurt. He's got an ankle. But, I mean, you could have argued. I mean, you had two receivers with over 100 yards combined for three touchdowns, and Gallup was on his way to a nice night, and he got limited by the injury. But, I mean, this was a very, very potent. Now, Ed, there's something our folks need to hear, and they want to hear from us, and it's this. You've seen it all over Twitter. The OPI, we do need to discuss it, and we'll have a stretch on with this stretch plays in a minute with the grades and everything. But, Ed, the what was it? I mean, like, it's hard because last year it got called. Gallup got called on an offensive pass interference in a game, and that's being brought up. Godwin, certainly, if you look at the replays, he knocked Jordan Lewis to the ground. And Jordan Lewis, to his credit, said, well, you know, it wasn't called, and I've got to figure out a way to get off the field or make that play or whatever. In looking at that, how bad do you think that was? A badly missed call, or was that one of those bang bang things?
Not seeing it or not noticing it in real time, but seeing the replay, I think it's an obvious push off by the receiver, and a receiver who was having a difficult night, given that he fumbled, you know, on the 3 yard line that costing his team a potential clinching touchdown late in the game, and dropped several other passes, typically a very good receiver, but I don't think there's much question that he pushed off and got away with it. And the other play you're referring to was in week one last year when Jalen Ramsey was pursuing Gallup, got beat down the field by Gallup, and got a call, that Gallup had pushed off. And I thought that was much more questionable than what we saw tonight by Godwin.
Yeah, it certainly looked like he did it. And I want to welcome back to the program. And next week, by the way, we've got a new sponsor, but MyBookie is joining us. And boy, they've got those incredible deals. MyBookie playing host to several exclusive contests, including their $100,000 super contest, and it only costs $10 to enter. There's big money on the line this season, so don't wait to get in the game. Join now. Head to mybookie.ag today and use our promo code DOOMSDAY. Doomsday, DOOMSDAY, and instantly receive double your first deposit. That's double your funds to double your winnings. Again, that's the promo code Doomsday to receive double your first deposit and get started with my bookie today. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with my bookie. Now it is time, Ed, and we're gonna have what we call our stretch plays with Glenn Stretch Smith, former Cowboys scout and coach, and here are his grades. Stretch, I know we need to get to the grades, and people look to you to kind of give them some perspective, but overall, a lot for Cowboys fans to be excited about going in there and almost taking down the defending Super Bowl champs. Like, do you think this is one of those things like, oh man, we let a huge opportunity get away? Or do you look at this more as, hey, this thing has a chance to be way, way better than last season?
I think, Matt, we've always talked about the margin for winning and losing in the NFL, it's razor thin. And it doesn't matter if you're playing the Super Bowl champs, if you're playing the Chargers that they'll play next week, or whoever you're lining up against, it's razor thin. And all of the things that you saw happen tonight to the Cowboys, I think, are very correctable. I think if you're a Cowboys fan, you come out of that football game and you think this was a team that was an 8.5, 9-point underdog. And I know we'll get into the gambling side of it, But Matt, we talked about it on your radio show. This is a team that no way you should have been giving those kind of points to. And I think you made a good point before we went on the show. Hey, could the Cowboys have won this football game? Did they let one get off? I just think if you're a Cowboy fan, what you saw tonight are things that can be corrected, and you have a lot to look forward to, and you have a season in front of you of 16 more football games where if this team stays healthy, absolutely you have to come out of that game and say, this team's going to – they're the best team in the East right now. I can't wait to hear what the Bart Scotts and the Michael Kays and all these guys who thought that the Cowboys were going to get their brakes beat off came out and put on a really good show to open the football season.
I think you're right. I just the takeaways thing. We'll get to that in a minute. Let's start with this was a unbelievable quarterback battle, and Brady 32 of 50 for 379 yards and 4 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. One of those was a heave at the end of the half, so it doesn't really count. Dak 42 for 58, 403 yards, 3 touchdowns, and the one pick, which went through the hands of CeeDee Lamb. Stretch, this is, I think, as good of a performance as any Cowboys fans could have ever hoped for, and it had even exceeded someone's wildest expectations for Dak Prescott.
Well, Dak, Matt, there's no question that Dak put on an absolute show. And after being out for 11 months, I don't think anyone would have expected him going out and throwing for 400 yards. I don't even know how you could remotely say, well, I handicapped that. When you saw what he did, when you saw how he led the football team, when you saw it felt like he made the right checks at the right time. He was able to take a few shots in there. Everything you saw from the quarterback leads you to believe you got your guy. You got a guy that's going to lead this football team for a while. And quite frankly, Matt, it was worth what you gave him. And when you look at his play tonight, I'm telling you, it was absolutely what you want to see as a coach. It's what you want to see as a fan. And you could give Dak nothing except an A. And that's all you can do.
All right, A, thought you might go A plus even. I'm just looking at that pass where he dropped the ball, picked it up, and then kind of, I mean, those are some of the things he can do. That looked like a Mahomes-type play where he fired it in there over the corner. I believe that was the one to Cooper. And so A for Dak Prescott, nobody can dispute that. What do you make of Zeke's night? I think some people are on him about not making the guy miss one-on-one. Obviously, Jarwin missed the block on that option play that it looked like for all the world, it had a chance to go for a touchdown. It was a very key play because they ended up having to settle for a field goal down there. I think that was a 21-yarder. Zeke had some great blitz pickups that they showed tonight on TV and really did a nice job there. What do you give the running back?
Well, without question, he absolutely is a great protector. He understands the protections. He understands how the offensive line is going to sift to get to the right guy, to lead him the right guy. He takes great angles. He is a really, really good football player. I hate that Jarwin missed that down there when they ran that little option play. We'll get to Greg and the tight ends in a minute. But when you look at the job, I think that Zeke did, I think the job that Pollard did tonight when he was in the game, yes, they weren't able to show you what they can do running the football. But I still say a defense can take away something and they're able to absolutely say, we are not going to let that guy right there beat us. And you saw that's what they did tonight. They were not going to allow Zeke to beat them. They thought, okay, here's a quarterback coming off 11 months of sitting, and they stacked to stop the run. I mean, and they're so physical up front with their front four and their linebackers. Take that, what that stat is of how many yards he rushed for, take that out of it,
yeah,
and look at what he did from a production standpoint and especially from a protection standpoint. And he's just short of getting an A because he needed to make that guy miss down there on the goal line. Because of that, I gave both running backs a B.
Yeah, you're talking about some of those folks up front, that Vita Vea. Wow. You talk about a mean motor scooter. He was causing all sorts of havoc in the middle. All right, that receiving core. Well, actually, let's go with the O-line. That was kind of remarkable, honestly, to see McGovern. And there were a couple times Biotic got knocked back into the quarterback on one of those plays. That was a rough play for the Cowboys. But at least pass blocking wise, for the most part, they kept Dak pretty clean and allowed him to work the ball down the field. It looked like a pretty good effort, except for you got to hit him for those holds. And I don't know if you thought maybe one of those holds was kind of ticky tacky. You had the Connor. You had a Connor Williams hold and a Tyron Smith hold on that key drive late.
Yeah, I thought the offensive line really played exceptionally well. And I'm saying, look, when you're throwing the ball 60 times a game, you're going to get a 350-pound defensive tackle who's going to bull rush it. And that's just part of the game. I mean, you got no chance to fire off at him. You're sitting in your pass set. You're sitting in your pass set, and you're having to take him on. I thought the offensive line played a hell of a football game. And I'm talking about did a great job of protecting. Yes, the Tyron Smith hold, it was a hold on JPP. Had the edge on him. I got no problem with that. And then Connor Williams, you know, got the bull rush and he had to grab hold. It's hard to knock guys in that situation, especially again when you're having to throw it 60 times a game. I gave the offensive line an A. I thought what you saw tonight gives you great, great confidence that this football team is going to be able to do some really great things offensively. And it's going to start with that offensive line. They're very athletic, and now they have depth. An A for the offensive line.
Okay, A for the O-line, Eight for the quarterback. Wide receivers. Amari ends up 13 catches, 139 yards. CD, 7 catches, 104 yards. They combined for 3 touchdowns. And and we'll include the tight ends, by the way. Gallup was having a nice night, and then he got nicked. I think it's an ankle. We'll find out more about him. But Gallup's night came to a close. What did you think about those outside guys? I mean, obviously, a huge amount of targets. Let's see. Cooper and CD had 31 targets between them. When you throw in Gallup, those three combined for 38 targets.
Yeah, I mean, again, when you see how Tampa and Todd Bowles lined up tonight, they were going to say, we're going to cover one of these guys one-on-one, and Dak made them pay. And guess what? So did Kellen. I mean, I thought he did a phenomenal job calling the plays. I've been critical of him before, but a great job of calling the plays. The receivers on the double post, which sometimes that can get a little bit crowded in there. That's the ball that CD dropped when you saw the inside guys are running the double post, trying to get the safety out of there. He cannot drop that football. He cannot drop a perfectly thrown ball. Literally, that's the difference in my mind. That was one thing we could point to, 3 plays in here. That's the one big play in my mind. It was the difference in really whether this group got an A or a B. CeeDee Lamb cannot drop that football that hits him in the hands on that double post. Now, again, we can be critical of the spacing right there. The inside post has got to get across and get that guy out of there where he doesn't. There's not so much traffic in there, but he can't drop that ball. And I think he'll tell you that, but The wide receivers were just shy of an A, and they got a B because of that drop.
Okay, B, I would say kind of about a B-plus average over on the offensive side of the ball. Pretty good workmanlike effort, and for Dak, really one of the better performances we've ever seen. Let's go over the defensive side of the ball. You've been highly critical in the past about that secondary. There was a controversial call late. A call that was not made that could have been an offensive pass interference on Jordan Lewis. Godwin gives him a shove. He goes down. Call was not made. And, of course, that was the catch that set up the game-winning field goal for the Bucs. But for a lot of the night, especially at first half stretch, Brown was getting burned by the other Brown, and then they just could not. Gronk was just, they had no answer for him. And I saw some criticism out there as far as like that zero blitz situation where it was just like just taking candy from a baby. He and Brady have such a great relationship. What'd you make of the safeties and the cornerbacks?
Anthony Brown is a problem. I mean, he's not a very good cover guy, not physical as a tackler. So we've got to get better over there. Jordan Lewis, a little undersized. I still think Trayvon Diggs is a heck of a player. I thought Wilson played okay. I thought Kazee did okay. The problem is you've got one side that you're really confident you can play man coverage with, and then you've got another side who absolutely a really talented NFL quarterback and maybe the best ever went right at him. And they had no answers. And that's why you saw the Cowboy defense not be able to run many blitzes because they were having to sit back and play coverage. But the corners, especially Brown and Lewis, have got to get better. And just a very average night for those guys, and I gave them a C.
Okay, C for those guys. And let's note that the second-round pick that's a cornerback and the third-round pick that was a cornerback, Nashawn Wright did play but did not see really any meaningful action in the secondary, played mostly special teams. And then the other one, Kelvin did not, Joseph did not even make it. He's on the he right now he's on the IR. We'll see when he makes it back. So they right now they're not getting anything from second and third round picks. So that should be noted. Okay, linebacker. We talked a ton about Micah Parsons. Sort of the good and the bad from him, Van Der Esch, and the rest of that group. Well, Keanu Neal, saw him some in coverage and looked like he was close to making some plays, but did get beat on a couple of pass plays.
Boy, and I mean, Neal got exposed down in there. They let the center, that center release on him one time, and he knocked him in the next week. It's that's a situation where it's very tough on him because he's really a safety having to come down in there and be a box linebacker. I was really concerned tonight. I saw Van Der Esch in the open field, and I felt like in previous years, he showed you a burst to go take the correct angle. He wasn't able to show that against Fournette tonight. That concerned me a little bit. I thought Parsons at times looked a little bit kind of happy with his feet. He would get out of position some. I think all of those things as a Cowboy fan are correctable. I gave the linebackers a C again, just a very average effort out of them. And production wise, I looked for a little more production from Parsons than I got in the game. And then I got kind of taking a glance at the film.
Okay, and then the defensive line. Obviously, there were a couple of turnovers. They were able to come in there, punch one out. I thought Gregory, that was a good Wirfs, and Gregory had a nice mano-a-mano thing going on, but they did not consistently get a push. They did not make Tom Brady very uncomfortable. It was sort of rare that happened. What did you think of the defensive line's performance?
Yeah, you're gonna have to get better out of that front four. And quite frankly, it's a situation where you're gonna have to challenge Dorrance Armstrong, Randy Gregory, Lawrence. They're gonna have to be challenged because we know losing Gallimore. I mean, the inside guys are just kind of lunchbox hard hat guys. They're gonna get in there and try to plug it up and play the run a little. I thought they got pushed around. I thought they got blown off the ball at times. I really thought that the best grade I could give them was a C, Matt. They didn't get pressure when they needed to get pressure. And then in the time when they brought the pressure, when they brought Parsons, and they were going to drop Lawrence right there to cover Gronk, I mean, that's a situation where you can't lose him inside. And so every time the Cowboys blitzed, Brady made him pay for it, and because of that, I just thought the entire defense was kind of a C effort across the board. Now, let me clarify one thing by saying this. I thought assignment-wise, so much better than anything you saw last year, and so, you know, that's the plus side of it. The downside of it is you're going to have to live with some growing pains until we can get another corner in here, because I just think Brown is so – he's so average. Lewis is so undersized, and it's a situation where hopefully one of these young guys can step up and be able to take that job.
All right, Mickens for Tampa had some fairly good size returns. I know you weren't that thrilled with a special teams play. Obviously, they had a missed extra point and then a short field goal that was missed. What 31-yard field goal. What was your takeaway on the special teams?
Yes, really. This is something that I'm going to be openly critical about. I mean, when you've got a guy who can kick the ball out of the end zone and you decide to be cute and kick it up, let him return it to the 50 one time, let him return it to the 36 one time. I mean, you're talking about 40 yards in offense that you're just giving up because you think you're going to out-scheme them going and covering the situation. Here's the other hard thing that I just had a really hard time with is I look out there early in the game and I see the guy that's holding up the gunner, and both those guys look like they're riding a damn surfboard in that Jesse Palmer show that, you know, where they've got to get on a board and ride it through some kind of makeshift wave. It was aggravating to watch it. I don't know. I guess, you know, Bones Fossil's trying to justify the fact that he's getting paid an F. They got an F. That's what they got for the special teams.
Yeah, and they tried a 60-yard field goal before the half, which was just strange, and just gave the Bucks the ball right at midfield. So it was wow. Ended with some very, I mean, you were very complimentary, and you ended with a little bit of anger. And Stretch, by the way, tell our folks, I want you to give them the, as they go, give them that hint. You let me in on this Arby's secret. What is this new sandwich at Arby's that you're so excited about?
Oh, let me tell you, this spicy Philly cheesesteak. Now you're gonna have to chase it down with a Tums or two, but Podnut, it is ooey good, and I'm telling you ooey. So if the Arby's people are listening, if they're not on this, if they're not sponsoring this part, what we're doing from a podcast standpoint, they got a bunch of mutts in their management group, because I'm gonna tell you right now, Arby's has got the sandwich that's going on.
Okay, and the sauce is already on there. You don't have to load up with like horsey sauce.
Man. Okay. You got to order it spicy. Okay. You know how to do that.
Okay. I will do that. Stretch, appreciate it. Great to have you back for another season of the Doomsday Podcast. We appreciate you, and we will see you soon.
Be safe.
And there he goes into the night. Glenn Stretch Smith with Stretch Plays. All right, there we go. And Ed, you were handling all the post game activities. I just wanted to inform you that Stretch did give out his first F of the season.
Had to be on special teams.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He was not pleased with.
He's not a John Fossil fan. Last year at this point, I think he was already trying to fire Mike Nolan, and obviously Mike McCarthy followed up not long thereafter that suggestion. But too late to save the Cowboys season. Yeah. You know, the other thing that occurred to me, speaking of the defense, was Jalen Smith. His 50-game starting streak ended tonight because Keanu Neal and the rookie first-round pick Micah Parsons started at linebacker in front of Leighton Vander Esch and Smith, who were sort of rolled in situations where the Cowboys were convinced based on personnel and down and distance that the Buccaneers were most likely to run the ball. Those two guys played in the game, but for the most part, it was Micah Parsons and Keanu Neal in for probably 2/3 of the plays. It'll be interesting to see what the snap counts are. And then now we talked about the defense creating 4 turnovers, which was something they did at the end of last season, but really failed early in the year. I think that's encouraging for the Dan Quinn era just beginning, but I'm a little troubled by, you know, they got the lead at one point in the first half and it lasted 38 seconds. And then obviously they got the lead in the final minute 22 of the game and gave it away again. So their inability to hold on to the lead for any substantial period of time, I think, is a little disturbing.
You know, I can't imagine. Sounds like they're trying to break down the press box. Let us know if they're trying to kick you out of there, Ed, as we record this late into the evening. But some of those defensive plays. I'm sitting here watching some of these replays. I mean, the fact that we know that Brady loves to go to Gronk, and it is amazing that Gronk gets as wide open as he does. I would say that the Antonio Brown versus Anthony Brown matchup, boy, they love that one. And then they got Gronk going, and it is troubling to see that the Cowboys secondary still has some issues. I think you have to like kind of Diggs. Casey actually made a nice play in the game, but man, the other side over there, Brown, they made a lot of their yardage against him, and I think that's going to be a big worry for Cowboys fans.
Yeah, but I mean, I guess the Giants maybe, if you know, depending on, you know, they obviously made a commitment to trying to improve the receiving group around, you know, Daniel Jones and Saquon Barkley returning, but I'm not sure how many teams can put the 3 receivers and the tight end out there that the Cowboys face tonight. So I'm not sure they're going to face that level of competition across the board very often. I think the Bucs are probably as good as there are in the league in that regard. I did find it odd that on both of Gronkowski's touchdowns, it seemed that they got somehow mismatched with a defensive end in coverage. It was Basham one time and DeMarcus Lawrence the other time as the nearest defender to Gronk in a goal line situation. You know, Tom Brady's thrown 100 touchdown passes to Rob Gronkowski. You might want to have, I don't want to tell Dan Quinn how to do his job, but I might suggest he take a look at somebody other than a defensive end covering him in those situations.
You know, the one thing I the whole time, by the way, on that final drive, Ed, the Cowboys, before they kicked that field goal, and I don't think anybody felt really good about that field goal, but he makes it. And you look up and you're like, oh, dang it. There's like a minute, whatever it is, a minute 15 left. That's way too much time. You know, they had one timeout. Collinsworth on TV was basically like, I'd go, you know, you need to be thinking touchdown. You need to be thinking touchdown. And I agreed as bad as the kicking had been. And then the other part was you just needed to go down there and take more time off. I think that the hold on Williams was a killer, Ed, because it put you behind the sticks. And so then it took an option away from you. On third down, your entire goal had to become getting in field goal position. That hold right there prevented them from that's the only problem too, Ed. When I think about McCarthy, I felt like he was kind of sly even before the hold, was kind of thinking, let's just get in field goal position, when what they really needed to do was keep on driving down there and milk as much clock as necessary. And I don't feel great about this coach in those situations.
And this is the same Mike McCarthy who did just the opposite last year in the opener against the Rams, when he passed up a field goal attempt that would have given him, I think, tied the game, maybe given him a lead in the fourth quarter. Mm-hmm. And instead he, you know, went for it, and Dax passed for CeeDee Lamb. He got tackled short of the sticks is what happened. He didn't run his route at the proper depth, as a rookie might not. And so that's what McCarthy did tonight. It's the opposite of what he did in a similar situation week one a year ago.
Yeah,
it's starting to seem like it's been a long time since Mike McCarthy's been a winning football coach, is what I think. And, you know, it's too early to make any judgments, because you have to give him some credit for, you know, having Dak as ready to play as he clearly was, and building a game plan that I'll be interested to see if they do it again. But building a game plan around the quarterback to the detriment of the running back, and basically going into the game as a one-dimensional offense, we'll see where that gets him. But, you know, he hasn't really won in the last 2+ years that he's been an NFL head coach with. Now, Aaron Rodgers was injured part of one of those seasons in Green Bay, and Dak was injured for all but 5 games last year. But he really hasn't won without his starting quarterback, and he hasn't really distinguished himself when he's had those guys either.
No, he hasn't. And the stuff with Fossil, his little buddy, and that little comedy act they have going over there, and trying the it's like Skipper and Gilligan or something, trying the 60-yard deal at the half. I mean, we mentioned that already, but right before the half, that could have backfired in a big way. And it just, to me, it sets a bad tone for your team when you're making what Parcells would call indiscriminate decisions. And that's what it really feels like. Yeah. Ed, they sounds like they're coming right in there after you there, but I appreciate you.
I believe
you.
I'm about to be put in a dumpster. and deservedly so.
We better wrap it up. You've had a long, full day of activity. I love it when you get down there, though, and you visit with the coaches, and you kind of see what's on their mind. And I'm sure you saw Dan Quinn down there. Love seeing Dan up in the box when he turns that cap around backwards, and he gets that look about him. And so, by the way, that number 95 for the Cowboys, his name is Urban, Brent Urban. You know who I'm talking about?
Yeah.
At some point,
the veteran free agent they signed, yeah.
At some point, Collinsworth says, yeah, Brent Urban's one of the best run defenders in the National Football League. And I had to kind of look around, like I was by myself, but I thought, wait, did I miss that? I did not realize that Brent Urban was one of the greatest run defenders in the NFL. But there I was in the fourth quarter hearing that from Chris Collinsworth. I just wanted to pass that along to you.
I'm sure Dan Quinn will enjoy knowing that tomorrow morning when he gets up and tries to put a game plan together to stop the Chargers next week on the road. Like I said before, you know, Matt, it's kind of my closing thought as I head to the dumpster. but I thought when the season began, when the schedule came out, that the Cowboys could be a good team and they could play well and they could still be 0-2. It's going to get a lot easier for them after they play the Chargers. I don't think the Chargers are going to be any walkover either. With the second coming of Dan Marino in Justin Herbert. And they've got some really talented defensive players that are going to challenge the Cowboys with Derwin James and, Joey Bosa. So that'll be a challenge next week for them on the road at SoFi where they've played before.
All right. I'm kind of wanting to check out that SoFi situation. I don't know if I'm going to do it for the Super Bowl or next weekend, but I really want to get a look at that Chargers. And by the way, what's going to help the Cowboys next week, Ed, and kind of as we sign off, is the fact that that place is going to be covered up with Cowboys fans. The Chargers, you might have heard, they haven't developed a huge following there in Los Angeles. And I kind of feel like the Cowboys are going to take over that crowd. So I do kind of like their chances, but I think you're right. I think Herbert is one of the ascendant young quarterbacks in the game, and I love the man's hair. He's got his hair's kind of like, you know, mine's growing out again. I don't know if you've seen me recently, but sometimes people think Herbert and I have a similar look.
Name two people who said that.
Frito thinks that.
Herbert. I think Herbert cut his hair, actually.
Oh, no.
Didn't Mina Kimes write about that in her big profile on him? I think it might be left to you now. Have the big hair
to grow out the hair and everything. All right, Ed.
I think pandemic quarantine hair is not really in. At least that's what I'm rolling with.
Well, hey, good work today on TV. You and I have both been all over the place today, but always fun to end it with a doomsday podcast and Cowboys lose this thing. But Ed, the good news is I think we're going to have a fun team to cover. I mean, and again, it may crash and burn, but I don't, this is not, this team, as long as everybody stays somewhat healthy, I think it will remain interesting to the very end. And if they play like they did tonight, I'm not saying they're going to get four takeaways every game, but if the offense in Dak plays anywhere like he did tonight, they'll win a lot of games in the NFC East. And this team will be in contention. So that's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
I would tend to agree that I think they're the best team in the NFC East, as long as they, you know, don't suffer the sort of devastating injuries that they did a year ago. And obviously the key to the whole thing is Dak Prescott.
All right, Ed, pack up, go home, get a little rest, and then fly home, man. We'll be excited to see you, and then hopefully love to see you get to go to Los Angeles next week. Have you gotten your assignment yet, or do we have to wait till like the next couple of days to see that?
Probably Sunday night. I'm going to cover the Titans and Cardinals on Sunday in Nashville, and by the time that game ends, I hopefully will know where I shall be next week, and I think there's a good chance I'll be at the Cowboys Chargers.
Love it. I love it when they get you out there and get you in the middle of that. For Ed Werder, who's reporting live from Tampa, Florida, it is Matt Mosley, and this has been the Doomsday Podcast, your favorite podcast. Thank you for everybody who's been a part of this. Thank you to Frito Nation Productions. Good night from Allen, Texas.